relation of education to redemption. By sin, man was shut out from God. Except for the plan of redemption, eternal separation from God, the darkness of unending night would have been his. Through the Savior's sacrifice, communion with God is again made possible. We may not in person approach into his presence. In our sin, we may not look upon his face, but we can behold him and commune with him in Jesus the Savior. The light of the knowledge of the glory of God is revealed in the face of Jesus Christ. God is in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The life and the death of Christ, the price of our redemption, are not only to us the promise and pledge of life, not only the means of opening again to us the treasures of wisdom, they are a broader, higher revelation of his character than even the holy ones of Eden knew. And while Christ opens heaven to man, the life which he imparts opens the heart of man to heaven. Sin not only shuts us away from God, but destroys in the human soul both the desire and the capacity for knowing him. All this work of evil it is Christ's mission to undo. The faculties of the soul paralyzed by sin, the darkened mind, the perverted will, he has power to invigorate and to restore. He opens to us the riches of the universe, and by him the power to discern and to appropriate these treasures is imparted. Christ is a light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. As through Christ every human being has life, so also through him every soul receives some ray of divine light. Not only intellectual but spiritual power, a perception of right, a desire for goodness exists in every heart. But against these principles there is struggling and antagonistic power. The result of the eating of the tree of knowledge of good and evil is manifest in every man's experience. There is in his nature a bent to evil, a force which unaided he cannot resist. To withstand this force, to attain that ideal which in his inmost soul he accepts as alone worthy, he can find help in but one power. That power is Christ. Cooperation with that power is man's greatest need. In all educational effort, should not this cooperation be the highest aim? The true teacher is not satisfied with second-rate work. He is not satisfied with directing his students to a standard lower than the highest which it is possible for them to attain. He cannot be content with imparting to them only technical knowledge and making them merely clever accountants, skillful artisans, successful tradesmen. It is his ambition to inspire them with principles of truth, obedience, honor, integrity, and purity, principles that will make them a positive force for the stability and uplifting of society. He desires them, above all else, to learn life's great lesson of unselfish service. These principles become a living power to shape the character through the acquaintance of the soul with Christ. Through an acceptance of his wisdom as the guide, his power is the strength of heart and life. This union formed, the student has found the source of wisdom. He has within his reach the power to realize in himself his noblest ideals. The opportunities of the highest education for life in this world are his, and in the training here gained, he is entering upon that course which embraces eternity. In the highest sense, the work of education and the work of redemption are one. For in education, as in redemption, other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. It was the good pleasure of the Father that in him should all the fullness dwell. Under changed conditions, true education is still conformed to the Creator's plan, the plan of the Eden school. Adam and Eve received instruction through direct communion with God. We behold the light of the knowledge of his glory in the face of Christ. The great principles of education are unchanged. They stand fast forever and ever, for they are the principles of the character of God. To aid the student in comprehending these principles and in entering into that relation with Christ, which will make them a controlling power in the life, should be the teacher's first effort and his constant aim. The teacher who accepts this aim is in truth a co-worker with Christ, a laborer together with God.